Well, good evening tonight. You know, I decided not to wear a lapel mic tonight because usually when I wear the lapel, it's got that battery pack, you know, it sits on your back pocket and it pulls down my pants. And so the whole time I'm pulling my pants till I get home, my wife's like, "Would you stop pulling up your pants the whole night?" I'm like, "Well, sweetie, listen, no, just stop touching your pants." So I'm literally grabbing. Can we get some light over in this corner over here? Why is it so dark? You know, we should pray for these. There's just so dark over here. But I'm just kidding. Could we, though? I don't know who's on lights tonight, but it'd be so. Okay, awesome. Thank you. I was just kidding. I knew it was her. Who's on lights anyway? I just want to be able to see the Thomas back there. Is that Faith? Faith Thomas. See, now I can see her. The light has shone on her. Is that a word? Shone? Well, praise God. I'm doing good already. I'm speaking English. The Andersons, welcome tonight. Well, tonight, I think there's a volleyball tournament for Heritage. Is that going on? No, soccer tournament. And volleyball. Well, that's not tonight because there's some volleyball players here, but there's a soccer tournament tonight with Heritage, and so some of us are gone tonight, and so I'm just going to wing it. So, if you have a spiritual language, just be praying, I'm just going to rely on the Lord here, and we'll just trust God to bring something. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's get started. Go to Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll read that scripture and go home. He better be kidding. I came to get fed tonight. Proverbs 3, famous scripture. People quote it, and they have it in their mind, but they don't know it in their heart. You there? Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean, say lean.
Lean,
not lean like being thin or being fat, not in the measure of your stature, but lean as in the attitude of your heart. Does that make sense? Lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him. Who's him? My goodness, who's him? Okay, about 13 of you got it. Who's him?
God.
That's about 27. That's a little bit better. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews is in the New Testament. Probably three quarters or 90% of the way through your Bible. I hope some of you get convicted tonight. It is my goal. He's a jerk. Okay, therefore, you ready? Therefore, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. You know what? Does anybody have the New Living Translation? Everybody holds up their iPhone. You got the New Living Translation? Can I see your Bible? You rich kids, my goodness. I'm actually preaching about having iPods and stuff because, you know, iPods have stolen intimacy. That can preach. You know, we'll come back to that. God's promise, you ready? Some of you are already convicted. You're thinking about leaving right now. God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it.
For this good news that God has prepared this rest, say rest, has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. Okay, so he's talking about entering a rest, but you can't enter a rest unless you have faith. For only we who believe can enter his rest. I'll say it again. For only we who believe can enter his rest. Now I'm going to reiterate that in another way. Now only those who work really hard will enter his rest. Now to those who read their Bible all the time will enter his rest. For only we who believe can enter his rest. As for the others, God said, in my anger I took an oath, they will never enter my place of rest. Honey, you been here all night? Did you hear me joking earlier? You were right there? Why didn't you tell me? Did you know? Oh, okay, got to keep going. Okay. Even though this rest has been ready since he made the world, we know it is ready because of the place in the scriptures where it mentions the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work. But in the other passage, God said, they will never enter my place of rest. This is all kind of confusing. I'll bring clarity. So verse 6, God's rest is there for people to enter. But if those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God, so God set another time for entering his rest, and that time is today. God announced this through David, much later in the words already quoted. Today when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And now, key scripture tonight. Now, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, God would not have spoken about another day of rest still to come. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. What he's saying is that the Israelites were supposed to enter a rest, and they didn't enter the rest because of unbelief. But he's saying there still is a rest for the people of God. Verse 10, for all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall. Thank you, Cameron. Appreciate your hospitality in the house of God tonight. Breaking the bread of life for me. Some of you are too serious tonight. Let's pray. Father, tonight, God, we are truly grateful for how good you are. And God, we continually try to and do everything we can to remember how good you are. God, we're thankful that you pursue us. And God, we were reminded last week that you continually pursue us. And God, I'm grateful that that's all it is, and that's all we need to know, is that you're pursuing us, and that our job is to simply receive you. God, I pray that the words that come across tonight would not fall on bad soil, but it would fall on good soil, and it would produce much fruit. And God, that your people would hear your word, and they would respond. And God, that you would move powerfully tonight. God, we desire to be changed. We desire to understand how you work. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been in a continuing series. Can anybody tell me what that series is? Cultural Inquisitives. We've been talking about and asking questions that everybody that we would say is asking in the culture. I was telling one older man that what we were talking about here on Thursday nights, and he said, that is the question that everybody's asking. And we've been asking the question, where do I belong? And we've asked the question, how should I be? And tonight we're going to go to the part three, and it is what should I do? What should I do? And if you want to, you can even put a subtitle and say, what can I do? What can I do? It is important for you to understand how you should be. And we talked about this earlier, that how you should be is more important than where you should be. Because God cares more about your how than he does about your where, because he has a who in mind. God cares about how you should be. Now, when we ask that simple question, if I were to ask you, how should your attitude be? Most of you would probably quote Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And you would be correct. And as a matter of fact, that is how you should be. You should be loving. You should be peaceful. You should be joyful. You should carry those things. But what you do to receive that is the important thing. In other words, how you get that is the question we're going to answer tonight. And actually, what should I do and what can I do without you knowing it or not is one of the biggest questions that runs through your mind daily. If you serve God long enough, you've asked the question, what should I do? If you serve God long enough, or even just for a short period of time, you've asked the question, what can I do? And we might get caught up. We might get caught up in that question. Would you read a story with me? Go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. This just came to me, so I hope it's the right story. Matthew chapter 19. Marriage and divorce. Not on that. No. No. Matthew 19, verse 16. You guys thought I didn't know where I was going. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do? You just stop right there. He's asking the question that we're asking today. Jesus, what good thing shall I do? In other words, what good thing can I do to inherit eternal life? What good thing can I do to experience your presence? What good thing can I do to step into eternal life with you? What good thing can I do? And actually, this guy was actually a young man. He was a young ruler, and he was actually very rich from what we know. Well, what does Jesus say? Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life or to eternal life, your translation probably says, he says, keep the commandments. Thanks, Gabriel. Keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones should I keep? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Because what happens is this man comes to Jesus asking a question about law. In other words, this man comes to Jesus and he says, all right, Jesus, what can I do? And Jesus goes, you want to talk about law? You want to talk about you earning something? I'll talk about you earning something. You ready? He's like, yeah, give me what you got. You shall not steal, you shouldn't murder, you shouldn't commit adultery, you shouldn't bear false witness, honor your father. Okay, love, okay. The young man said, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The key is what Jesus says, if you want to be perfect. And many of us desire to grow or to mature, to become more like Christ, to become perfect. And so you're asking the simple question, what should I do or what can I do? You want to know, what can I do? How do I do? What is it that I can do to get to that place of perfection? What can I do? Because last week you told me that I'm rowing, and then you told me to just receive Jesus into the boat. Well, that's real good. Thanks. I'm already saved. I'm already going to heaven, but I'm still struggling with this. What should I do? Jesus says, if you want to be perfect, go do this. Go do this. I went hunting last weekend. How many of you like to hunt? I like to hunt, but I didn't really hunt because I didn't. It's a bitter story. I went hunting this last weekend. I went Friday. I actually drew for a permit for a moose, any bull, up at 20 Mile River. And it is okay to kill animals. I just got to throw that out there. Some of you are judging me and stuff and eat it raw. Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Did I say that out loud? Oh, my gosh. Okay. And so I go out there to go shoot a moose, right? So I go up 20 Mile River. 20 Mile River is about 45 minutes south of Anchorage. Just take the Seward Highway down, and it's right before Portage Glacier, about 9 miles after Girdwood. It's that river you see, the sign that says 20 Mile River. I was with my pops, and me and my dad got in the boat, and we headed up river. Anyway, so we get up there, and it's a nice day. I mean, it truly was a nice day. I get up there, and I've got all my hunting gear on, and we stop at this place, and it was so hot. I was like, I had my shirt off, and I was like, this is going to be the best trip. I'm like up in the mountains, like that's how nice it was. And so I'm up in the mountains, and the weather's great. I'm thinking this is going to be ridiculous. I thought I'd already heard a moose, and so get my moose and go back home and sacrifice. And anyway, and so I get to our campsite about 5 o'clock. So me and my dad start setting up camp, and you got to understand something. The terrain was horrible. I just got to stop there, because if you don't get that, you're not going to understand the whole message. Okay, this terrain was so bad, like really bad. Like there was alders, like there was big alders, and then there was like little alders. But the little alders are big enough that if you laid on them, they're big. Okay, and so usually you blow up an air mattress to sleep on. That, you know, because then, I mean, because then you're not like, you don't like feel the rocks and stuff, you know what I mean? Okay, and so usually you would sleep on it, right? I mean, if there's alders and like there's rocks, like big rocks, you're not going to sleep on a little pad this thick, are you? It's like that little pad just intensifies every little rock. Anyway, so we get there and we see this field. We're like, we're gonna set up camp here. So we start setting up camp, and we got everything laid out and we got our tent set up, and the tent had holes in it. He brings his tarp. It wasn't even a tarp. It was a holy tarp. No pun intended. It was a holy tarp. The tarp had a lot of holes in it, and so literally we're sitting at nighttime because it ended up raining all weekend. And so we're sitting under the tarp for a reason, and it starts raining. But it's not really working because there's huge holes this big that's dripping on our heads. And so we're doing everything we can to stay dry. It was the most miserable experience I've ever had. So at the end of the service, you're just going to come and pray for me and I just need healing. I'm just kidding. So we get there, and we're setting up my tent, and I walk in because my dad's setting up the tarp, and I walk into I walk inside the tent, and this floor was horrible. Like, it was so stinking bad. Like it kind of went up, and there's rocks everywhere, and then it went up on this hill, and then there's like little alders everywhere, and it just was just really bad. And so I'm just stepping, trying to find something flat, remotely flat, to fit both me and my dad in there. And so I'm doing everything I can. I'm feeling. I found the best places. So I lay down our deal. I set up our bed. I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be pretty good, you know. So Come to find out, I'm curling around rocks all night long. You know, just like there's a rock like here, and there's a rock here, and there's an altar here, and then there's rain dripping on my head here. And the whole night, I was sad. I was sad, and I was bitter. I was a little bitter, and then I thought I heard bears all night long. And that wasn't very easy. So I wasn't very happy at all. So all night long, I was laying on this rock. So I started taking clothing in the middle of the night, sticking it underneath me, you know, just doing everything I can to make it flat. And all night long, my dad's like, you know, just sleep. And so I wake up, I'm like, oh. My dad's like, man, I slept so good, you know. Because I gave him the better side, so I was trying to be nice, and now I regret it. You know, I'm a bitter now. But it's funny that the whole weekend I was struggling in my bed, and my question to you tonight is, where do you rest? Where do you rest? Where do you lay your head at night? Oh, actually, where do you lay your head during the day? Where are you resting? Where do you lean? Lean on me. When you're not strong, I'll be your friend. Where do you lean? What's that got to do with the rich young ruler? Where are you resting? Where do you put your head? Where do you put your mind? Where are you resting? Because the thing that Jesus, when he comes to this young man, or sorry, when the young man comes to Jesus, he comes to him with to-do lists. But Jesus comes back to him with to-do lists, and then at the end of it, he says, just go sell everything you got, and then come to me. And the Bible says that he went away sad. And the reason why he went away sad is because he was resting in his money. Very simple. Very simple. Very profound. So what Jesus doesn't do is he doesn't give him another requirement. He challenges the thing that he rests in. He challenges the thing that he put his faith in. He challenged the very thing that he relied on. He challenged the very thing that he trusted in, because that was the thing that was going to keep him from Jesus. It wasn't all the things that he could or couldn't do. It was the fact that his whole heart relied on and trusted in and leaned on and rested upon his money, his possessions, his wealth. And so Jesus was not more concerned about him doing more things. Jesus was concerned about whether or not he was going to lay down the thing that he relied on in order that he could trust in Jesus. Well, how do I know that? Well, then Jesus goes on. He says, what's impossible for man is possible with God. Because Jesus was teaching a principle that it doesn't depend on man to be saved. It depends on God. It depends on man to put his faith in God, which is different than actually being saved. All our job is supposed to do is simply put our faith in the God who can. And so Jesus attacks the thing that he puts his faith in. Jesus comes to the thing that he rests in. In your life, you might ask all the questions, and even last week, you might have had an encounter with the Lord, and you might have said, okay, Lord, I receive you, and you experience life, and you feel like you're kind of in a right place. But then you ask the simple question, well, what do I do now? What am I supposed to do now? How do I become like him? Does this make sense to anybody? Anybody else? That makes sense, Billy? And so what's the answer? Jesus spends approximately 33 years on earth. 33 and a half years. The last 3.5 years is the majority of where the gospel's focus. His last 3.5 years, the years of his ministry. In the Gospel of John, chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, chapter 17, primarily focus on the last few hours before he is crucified. In other words, John, the Apostle John, who writes the book of John in your Bible, he was with Jesus. He says he was the one whom Jesus loved. He focuses on the last few hours more than anything else of Jesus' life. Because he wants us to walk away with one thing. If I was gonna go to Jesus and I was gonna ask him for one thing, he would tell me, and you could find it out in chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. I would say the most important thing would be found in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. If you were to ask me to do one thing, or if you said, Gabriel, give me one thing that can give me a tool to follow Christ. Give me one thing, and I would say read John 13, 14, 15, 16. And you know what? You don't even have to read it, because I'll tell you what it is right now. Go to John 13 real quick. John 13. I know we're jumping all over tonight. I know we're jumping all over tonight, but this will be kind of the thing we'll stick on for the rest of the night. John 13, verse 23. Sorry, verse 21. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me." He's talking about the guy who's going to betray him, and this is kind of where we're at. Then the disciple looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now there was leaning or reclining or resting on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Did you hear that? Where was he? He was leaning, he was resting on the heart of Jesus. This just gives us a small picture of what Jesus actually opens up for us in chapters 15, 16, and 17. And he starts in chapter 15. And so if you hear anything tonight, hear this. Hear this. You can do so many things, and you can get caught up in so many different things, but if you don't do this one thing, everything else has no effect. If you don't do this one thing that John would find to be the climax of his whole story, he talks about it in John 15, and he talks about a word called abide. And then he talks about abide, which is the same word to mean to rest, to stay, or to lean on something. It's that same meaning. So what's happening? In our life, we can choose to lean wherever we want to lean. And we can choose to trust whatever we want to trust. And we can choose to do whatever we want to do. And you can ask all the right questions to try to get somewhere and try to find out what you can do to make it right, or what you can do to try to find out where you need to go and how you need to get there. But there's only one thing that you can really do that'll have any effect, and that's simply resting. It's simply resting. It's resting in who Jesus is. It's resting in what Jesus has already done. What can I do? You can't really do anything but just rest. You can't really do anything but set your mind on him. You can't really do anything but just set your heart and your mind and your leaning and your trust on him. Paul says it in Galatians chapter 3, and this is just really simple, really simple. And I say this many times. But he says, "Who bewitched you? You began in the Spirit. You began by faith, grabbing a hold of Jesus. What makes you think that you're going to get anywhere else by trying to do anything out of your own strength?" Because I feel like, because last week, how many of you here last week, and we talked about rowing? And what happens is most of the time we have this altar experience. We have this experience where we receive Jesus, or we experience forgiveness, or we experience a new revelation of some sort, of some kind. And then we try going back to just rowing. Then we ask the question, we get done and we say, well what can I do? Or maybe you have an experience and you say, well, what should I do now? And you're asking the wrong question. And I guess if you're going to ask that question, I guess I could give you one word. And it would just be, just rest. Okay, well, that means I just do whatever I want to do? No, that means you just rest in what's already been done. Hebrews chapter 4, we just read it. The one who believes in God, or the one who rests in God, ceases from his own works. Now, this might be all Greek to you. This might be all, doesn't make any sense. This might not make any sense, because what does it mean to enter into his rest? What does that mean to be at rest? It means getting stuck in trying to receive, to attain something out of your own strength. Trying to get somewhere, trying to attain something, trying to receive something by your own strength. Well, what does that mean? If I asked you that tonight, could you tell me what that means? Does anybody feel like that's like an oversaid statement? Anybody but me? Does anybody feel like that statement, don't do it in your strength? Have you heard that about 100 times? What does that mean? What does that mean? I'm up to the debate. What? To let God. Is that confusing anybody? Okay, let me say it this way. If you do sin, and you do live in sin, or you do find yourself struggling with something, it's because you're not letting God. If you do find yourself frustrated or worried or anxious or bitter, it's simply because you're not letting God. It's simply because you're not learning to just rest. You know, what did Jesus do when he was done on the cross? What did he do? What did he do? He fell asleep, right? He died. But where did he go? When it was finished, he rested. And that's the thing. That is the simple understanding that if we don't get, we're going to give up. We're going to give up. Because trying to rest is so simple. Just resting. Just staying. Just allowing yourself to not have to try to get anywhere. I would say this. If you want to experience God living his life through you, it would be simply you understanding that he lives in you. Don't get so caught up in trying to find out what you can do to get there. Don't get so caught up in trying to find out how you can do, or what you could do, or what you should do to get there. And I even feel like tonight you might be asking the question, and maybe this isn't even totally relevant to all of you. Maybe what's more relevant to you tonight is, what can I do? Maybe tonight you've asked all the questions of, what can I do? What can I do to try to get him to receive me again? What can I do to try to get him to walk with me? What can I do to try to be strong, to try to be mature, to try to be a strong woman or a strong man? Because if you're here tonight, you're here tonight because you're seeking something. You're desiring something. You want something. And so if you're asking that question, what can I do? Or what is it that I can do tonight? What is it that I can do? What is it that I can bring? What is it that I can try to attain? Then I would say simply, you stopping and resting in what's already been done. Rest is another word for faith.
Rest is another word for trusting. Rest is another word for relying. Rest is another word for leaning. Faith is another word for resting and relying and leaning. Faith is simply you stopping and stop trying to attain something and simply putting your trust and your faith in Him and what He's already done. It's doing what John did when he set his mind, he put his mind on the heart of Jesus. When everybody else was so curious, do you want to know? People say, I want to know what God's saying. I want to hear what God's saying. And John found it out. You know how he found it out? He set his mind, he leaned his understanding, he put his mind, he put his time, he put his heart against Jesus. And then he goes on and Jesus tells him, the secret that everybody was looking for. And everybody else wanted to know what Jesus was saying, but only John heard it because his mind was set on Jesus. So simple.
Worship team, I'm ready for you whenever.
I guess the question I want to ask you tonight is where do you rest? And where do you lean? I'm not asking you when everything is going good. I'm not even asking you when everything is going bad. I'm just asking you if there was one thing that if it was taken from you tonight that you would just give up, what is that one thing? You know, what if every single Bible in the world was just burnt up? That's a horrible thought, isn't it? My question to you is, if it was burnt up, would you still be able to make it? Now that's a strong line. But what did Abraham do when he didn't have a Bible? Guys, I believe in my Bible. I said that so I'll get your attention. I believe in my word. I believe in reading my word. If you ask anybody that knows me really well, I love my Bible. And I read it as much as I can. I love it. But has it gotten so far that we don't know Him in His Spirit apart from trying to find out who He is on a piece of paper? Because what if you were in a case where you couldn't have a Bible? Would your life stop? What if you weren't here and you were sent somewhere and maybe you were called to go to college and you went to college in Florida? Would you still make it? What if you didn't have the friendships that you have right now? Would you still make it? What if everything was stripped out from underneath your feet? Would you still make it? What if when you're 40 years old, and life's tough. I don't know, maybe you're kids, you got kids, and we're all thinking about kids, we're kind of younger right now, but just go there with me. Maybe you got kids and life starts getting real tough and the kids start rebelling and your spouse and your relationship with your spouse is really struggling. And then your church, the head pastor is whacked and you just don't agree with them and you're frustrated and you're bitter. What if at that moment something horrible happens, like you get fired from your job? And then we'll even go further. What if your family and your kids just said, "Well, I'm leaving. I'm not staying here with you anymore." What if everything you could possibly lean on and trust in was stripped out from underneath you tonight? What would you do? And where would you lean? Where do you rest? When you walk in the service, when you walk into church, when you walk in here, where's your confidence? When you walk in here and you have that thought of coming closer to God, what is the thing that you lean on to come closer to Him? Does that make sense? Do you have something right now? Because I think the religious and the right answer is, well, Jesus and what he's done. But is that really where you're at? You know, it's such a common question we ask today. How are you doing today? And we're doing good or bad, not based on anything else other than how we feel. Well, I'm not doing very good. Why? And I'm not saying for you to be fake. I'm saying, are you and your emotions and your pursuit in life and who you are as a person, is it dependent? Are you leaning on what happens in life? Are you leaning on anything else other than the intimacy that you have with Jesus? Do you feel like you've gone so far that you're separated from him and that you have no relationship with him? Because I promise you that if you've never been separated, you can't be separated from him, then you're not going to be separated from him. And so then if you come into life, or you wake up in the morning, you step out into life, is your confidence and is the thing that makes you joyful, the thing that makes you have peace, the thing that makes you full of love, the thing that makes you excited in life, is it what's happened to you that gives you that? Or is it what Jesus has already done? Is it that you rest in Jesus at the table? Or do you get confused and try to figure out what you can do in life? Because I tell you, you can sit there all day long and you can make a bunch of lists of all the things that you could try to do. Do you remember the disciples and their fishing? And I think it's in Luke chapter 5. Remember they're fishing and Jesus is kind of on the shore. And Jesus is casting down the other side. And remember what they said? Peter said, we've been fishing all night, toiling, laboring all night. There's no fish out there. And Jesus said, no, just cast it. Just trust me. All right, but if you say so, we're going to do it. And of course, he catches the big load, right? Don't get so caught up in toiling and rowing. Gabriel, you already said that last week. I know, but I want to reiterate it. I want to reiterate this. That yeah, you might have received him, but how are you going to continue to live with him? What is the thing that gives you confidence to live a life after God? What do you lean on? Would you stand with me? There's nothing that you can stand on. There's nothing that you can lean in. And there's nothing that you can rest upon that will ever bring you anywhere except resting in the fact, just resting in Jesus. Can we just rest right there? Can we just keep it really simple? Really simple. It's already done. Well, what do I do now? You're just obedient to him. So what do I do from here on out? You just rest in what's already done, and through that, you love one another. He says in Galatians 5, nothing matters except faith, resting. Faith means to rest and to rely on and trust in God. And to let that work through love. Father, tonight, God, help us not to be so, help us not to complicate the gospel. Help us not to complicate
the simplicity of what's already been done. God, we want to stay in our word. God, we want to seek you in prayer. We want to seek you in worship. God, we want to pursue you and know you intimately. God, we want to be godly and righteous and holy before you. But God, we're not going to get there by ourselves. And so, Father, I pray right now, Lord, as we have our heads closed, or our heads down and our eyes closed, God, that you'd remind us right now. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would pinpoint and reveal to each one of us, what is the thing that we rely on? What is the thing that we rely on to get us to the other side? What is the thing that we trust in to get where we want to go? What is the thing that we trust in to experience what you have for us? If I could give you direction, I would challenge you to cast that to the Lord and rest in Him.
You guys don't know this song, and my team doesn't either. But it's super simple. Just here, I find rest in you. And the chorus is, would you give me the wings of a dove that I could fly away to you? And it's not meant to be some girly chick song, but this story of Noah sending out the dove. He sent out the ravens first, and the reason they didn't come back is because they found rest in the world, just feasting on all the dead flesh floating on the water, which is pretty nasty. But when he sent out the dove, it couldn't find rest. And so it came back to the Father until it was sent out again. And even when it found good things and fruit, it brought it back to Noah. And Noah's name actually means Father. And God put that on my heart a few years ago, I needed to rest, and I was finding it in everything else. And we just need to rest in Him and find our peace in Him and let our souls be satisfied in Him alone. David prayed that a lot in the Psalms. Give me the wings of a dove. Let me fly away and be with you. Let me just be with you and rest with you. Even the meaning of worship, to adore and to love and to cherish God, also just to sit with God. Worship is just to sit and to be with, be together with. And that's okay. It doesn't have to be wordy. So let's just sit and be with Him. And if you can imagine just sitting on His lap, and you're a kid and you're just with your dad. Oh, here. heart. In my heart and my soul.
Your light will shine when all is
usually we would leave right now. And if you have to go, you're dismissed, and you might miss out on a little more. If tonight you just feel, I don't know, the word keeps coming to be discouraged. You feel discouraged. You feel like it just isn't working. You just feel like, I don't know, maybe you feel like you've made your deals, you've made your plan, or you've made something, you've tried doing things, and you tried getting somewhere, and you just feel kind of discouraged tonight, like maybe what I try to do or what I want to do just doesn't work, and I just don't feel satisfied. We'll just simply say it this way. You feel discouraged. What I want you to do is I want to have our leaders pray for you. I want you to be encouraged tonight. Because the purpose of us getting together is that we would be restored and that we would be renewed and that we would have hope cast into our heart and that we would leave filled with hope. Now, if it's every day and every Thursday night you come here and like it's just a continuing thing and you're just like all the time like, oh, I gotta come back and just cut, then this ministry is becoming a crutch to you. And no longer is Jesus really your source. It's just somebody praying for you. And so what we're going to do is they're just going to keep playing. But if you're in that place, I want you to come down and come talk to me or one of us. And we'd love to pray for you. We'd love to pray for you that you don't feel discouraged. You don't feel like you're not going to get anywhere. And you're not getting anywhere. Does that make sense? Is that clear? That clear? So you can go if you need to go. If you got a ride coming, your parents are coming to pick you up. I want to be faithful with that and make sure that you're not getting home late. But if you can stay, please come. Grab one of us that we can pray for you. Amen. How many are blessed tonight? Is God good? What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Where are we supposed to rest? In Jesus. Anybody feel like that's not their nature? It's not their nature to rest. It's their nature to try to get things done, you know? It's their nature to try and earn it. It's their nature to try and make things happen. Father, tonight, God, we're grateful. Come on, tell them how grateful you are that he did it. Come on, he did it already. He did the work so you don't have to do the work. He paid the price so you don't have to pay the price. He did the working on the cross for you, and through his life, he lived a perfect life for you so you don't have to, but you get the opportunity to. This doesn't mean that you go on doing what you want to do. This means that you serve your heart whole, or you serve your life for Christ wholeheartedly. Come on, he did something for you that nobody else could have done. He wasn't a good person. He wasn't just a prophet. He was God in the flesh, taking upon your sin and shame and guilt, putting it on the cross, extinguishing it once and for all. And then he rose again and he came to live inside of you that you would live with him and for him. That's good news. So what does he ask for you? He asks that you would just rest. God, we're thankful that you made it so simple. God, we're thankful that you already did the work. God, we're thankful that you said that it was finished, that all the working was done, that we're not trying to attain anything anymore, but we're simply doing what you've called us to do out of obedience and love for you. Father, I thank you for every person here tonight. Every person, God, that can hear what I'm saying, and every person, Lord, that is here right now, God, I thank you, and God, I'm asking that they would go in and out blessed, that they would find good pasture as they go out, God, that they continually lean and rely on you, God, that they'd be convicted of the things that they trust in and rely on, God, they'd be convicted of the things and the places where they choose to rest, rather than resting in you, they're choosing other things, and God, that they would be convicted not to find shame and condemnation, but to be drawn closer to you. And Father, I pray that you would provide continually for them. God, I thank you that you are providing for them. God, I thank you that you have a future for them and you have a destiny for them. And they're not done. Their life is not over. Their life is not spent, but you have still a life and a future in store for them. And God, I'm asking that you lead us and show us where that is for each one of us. Father, we thank you that you love us, that you pursue us. God, that you're so good and forgiving. God, help us to live like you love us. Help us to live righteously. Give us the grace. Give us the strength. Give us the power to live out this life with you. In Jesus' name, amen. That's you. You might feel discouraged tonight. We want you to come on down and come talk to one of us. And if you're leaders, you know who you are. You just come on down here too. You blessed tonight? You blessed tonight? You know what's so cool is that we don't really got to do anything to be blessed. We just got to receive the fact that we're already blessed. Did you know that you're already blessed simply by believing in what Jesus did for you? Isn't that amazing? I just got to believe and I'm blessed. I just got to have faith that God's my provider and he's going to provide for me. And even when I start doubting, he still does it because he loves me. Isn't that amazing that you don't got to do anything to try to earn and attain what he has for you, but he gives it to you because he loves you? I just think that's good news. Let's take some time to pray for one another, to get to know one another, and have some fellowship tonight. We love you. We bless you. Hope you're encouraged. And then if we don't see you Sunday, we'll see you next week.